Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Feedback and Insights, shared number 151. So we talked about various levels of interaction with human beings, Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, and with a husband and wife. One level is the cliche or superficial, which we said really there's no such thing as superficial because every encounter could be meaningful. Then you have a sharing of facts, which is also sort of safe. And then the third one, which we're talking about now, which is opinions. Here you are open to vulnerability because you'll obviously confront another party that may have different opinions than yourself. But we need to learn it's okay to have different opinions, and it's okay to agree and agree to disagree, and it's okay to accept someone else's view and understand it without needing to suppress your own view. You have this entire all the time with Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, where you see the other side of something, even though you personally or a Rav will paskin one way and another Rav will paskin the opposite way. But nevertheless, there's a certain level of oneness in understanding the other opinion and so on and so forth. So opinions are the most common cause of conflict within relationships because once you have opinions, there's expectations and then beliefs based on the opinions and core values based on those opinions that affect our lives directly. And how do you resolve these conflicts from differing opinions? That's the idea of how you nurture a relationship that's constantly flowing and moving. To learn to agree gracefully and disagree gracefully is an important part of important component of any type of conflict resolution process, and in marriage also. This is a skill that needs to be learned on all Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi levels, but certainly in a marriage, to learn how to agree gracefully and to learn how to disagree gracefully. And also to understand what causes different people to hold different opinions, different backgrounds, different experiences, different education, and so on and so forth. Because the bottom line is, especially you see this in Klal Yisrael, we have good, honest people and tzaddikim hold about of one view, while there's another good and honest section of people, also tzaddikim, that equally, bislahavis, with a fervor, oppose that view. You have this through the culture of the world and in Am Yisrael. I'm not even talking about, the Jewish disagreement between the Orthodoxy and the Haskalah, for example, which is undermining the whole Torah Shebal Peh. But within Torah Shebal Peh, and within that culture, within keeping Tarayag Mitzvahs, you have 12 Shvatim, with 12 different Mahalchim, and according to Arizal, 12 different She'arim of Tefillah. And they're all tzaddikim and sometimes end up on diametrically opposed opinions in hashkafa in many instances and in halacha in many instances. We are influenced by experience and education and friendship, and even in Torah, we're connected to certain midas. Look at Netanya about how Beisil is connected to midas ha-chesed and the Beishamai to midas ha-gvura. Their Torah is pure, but under that lens, the Ramak brings an example of having clear water. If you pour it into blue glass, it'll look blue. Pour into red glass, it'll look red, so on and so forth. So Torah, the water is pure and the same, but based on the way Hashem wants it revealed, it's revealed in different ways, sort of like one beam of light, white light, against certain types of crystal will spread out into different colors, and so on and so forth. So the thing to mention, understand also about opinions is it's not static or permanent. They come and go. They change. Even in Pesach, they constantly change. You read Tshuvas of Gedolei Yisrael that span 20, 30, 40 years. That's sometimes Chayzer. They change their opinion on something later, or a circumstance changes that they feel differently for whatever reason it may be. An example, it may not be the greatest example. I remember when the first, when Pesach hotels were coming out years and years ago, oh boy, was there such a backlash against it from many Gedolim. Many people spoke against these hotels that were cropping up to come to Pesach. And you just fast forward 10 years, all of a sudden you see advertisements for these hotels, and they're inviting these very speakers to speak, to be a guest speaker the whole Pesach. So go figure. So obviously opinions change based on different matzavim, different situations. So the opinion you hold today could dramatically be different than when you felt what you felt 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, different than when you felt when you were a teenager. Your growth, your opinions are changing and growing and evolving, becoming more refined and more refined as you work on yourself. Very often in the beginning of marriage, each one had very strong opinions about a particular subjects, but as they grew together and raised children together and went through experiences together, each one understands better the opinion of the other because they went through life and they see things in a more varied light, that there's a gray area here where you could see both sides of things and accept both sides of things, just learn how to balance it and work it through. So that's very, very important. That even the people we love and we love dearly and the most, our own wives, our own husbands, their opinions could change, their view could change. And that doesn't mean they're becoming more from or less from. Entire itself, the shift from one opinion to another in halacha, in hashkafa, within the confines of Torah, is something that the Chazal say, Elu ve'elu devrei Elokim chayim. They're both emes. Opinions become refined and changed as you work things through. And it's evolving, and you become more tolerant because we're all work in progress. We're all different points in our journey. Someone has a strong opinion today based on experience. It could change tomorrow, or at least it could be balanced by something else that happens, and so on and so forth. People's experiences in life led them to certain opinions about certain things, and future experiences were likely to cause them to refine those very opinions. The very example that I saw recently in the news is about someone that was so anti-Haredi in Eretz Yisrael. He hated the religious all his life, but he saw something on a plane. Someone offered someone who wasn't feeling well medical assistance, and in another case, returned to them a large sum of money that belonged to them, and their opinion changed, like overnight, based on that experience. They stereotyped a Haredi person being a certain way based on certain experiences maybe or in certain, you know, concepts that were in their mind growing up. And then they see an experience that sees the reverse and has them reconsider their opinion. That's by the way, a tremendous lesson b'negei kiddush Hashem. That's how you mekadesh shem shamayim. People have an opinion of Jews this way, that way, the other way. And you behave exemplary as a kiddush Hashem. And that truly shifts till they ultimately say, Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goyachad Ba'aretz, how great is the Jewish nation. So as a child, you may also have, if you look back as a child, you may recognize that while you were a child or a young teenager, you disagreed with the way your parents did things or the way your parents said things. And then you yourself get married and have children, and then you find yourself now understanding your parents better. And you understand where they were coming from more because of the experience that you are having now. Sometimes we have prejudice within our opinion, and we need to really have objective friends and rabbeim and mentors to help us avoid unhealthy, biased opinions or prejudiced opinions. For example, and it's not their fault often, for example, people that had troubled childhoods, and they were surrounded by people who did not love them or did not treat them right or did not treat each other right. They often grow up believing that the world is a cruel place, a dangerous place, a cold place. No one can be trusted, and you have to fight to survive. And to change that could only be through entering an environment of love and of care to ultimately change your mind about that. The same thing, by the way, a lot of people that go off the derech. One person wisely said, they didn't go off. They just went on a vacation, a necessary vacation for them to come back in a healthy way. And very often, I spoke to a few people that went off the derech. They told me, honestly, that their concept of God was skewed. They either had a bad Rebbe, or a parent that was abusive, or someone in their life that was very destructive to them, that was quote-unquote religious, Torah observant, and their concept of God came from that person who, so to speak, represented God, so you have a negative opinion of God. Why wouldn't you? If you had a negative, toxic person as your main teacher, then you're going to view God in that toxic way. So a lot of the off-the-derech situations and a lot of those misconceptions about God is because it's based on our negative experience of how we experienced an authority figure that's representing God in our view and let us down. And once we recognize that that's not the way it needs to be, and you're exposed to a warmer environment, a warm family, a loving family, you go to Shabbos meals where they're embracing and they're warm to you and they're affectionate and they listen and they're kind, then it shifts. That's what Kiddush Ein Shemayim is, and that's how opinions often change for the better. So you have another example, it's brought down here. A young man grew up under troubled circumstances, difficult parents, difficult life journey, assumed, of course, that the world is a cruel place, a dangerous place, and no one could be trusted. But then, over time, he met a wonderful young woman, they fell in love. Together, they attended college, got married, started to raise a family. And through the love of his wife, he had an expanded vision to go on with his education, fathering his children, and he changes his opinion. 10 years later, being married, he's a different person. The same man will say, yes, true, the world could be a cruel place and could be a dangerous place because he experienced it growing up, but the world is also a wonderful place filled with extraordinary opportunities because now he experienced that, Baruch Hashem, by being married to the right person in a warm environment and an accepting environment. So it's a combination. It's both. Rav Yigdal Miller once described this when he was explaining how the world is. It's a Lashon Helam, it conceals. The Torah says it's a beautiful, good world, and it is, but it also conceals. It hides godliness, and that's part of that challenge. That's our Bechira. So what is it? Is it a challenging, dark world, or is it a light, revealed, beautiful, wonderful world? The answer is it's both. It's a matter of perception. It's a matter of what you grow into and how you adapt to it and recognize you have free will to look at it this way or look at it that way, but you have the ability to look at the world as being a good world. The Rivnitzer Rebbe once said, Bereshis Bara, that Hashem created the world. Bara is a Lashon of Bari, healthy. Hashem created a healthy world. Now, the humanity may have skewed it somewhat and made it less pleasant and more destructive, but it was a healthy world to begin with. And there is darkness and there's tests that we have to reveal. But the bottom line is we see another side now. And the idea of truth also. Within Torah, Torah is Torah's emes, but like the Tanya and other sforums say, within Torah there's different degrees of emes to each person. So for example, the Shvatim. They were in separate paths in the Yamsuf, but the Medrash says it was clear they were able to see each other. They were different drachim and avodas Hashem, different paths that lead to the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah is absolute truth, but Torah at the same time reveals itself to various different shvatim to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way. A Kohen in his own way, a Levi in their own way, a Levi depending on if you're a musician, Levi, or whether you're going to be closing and opening the gates, Levi. Different type of a Levi. Different type of Yisraels. So on and so forth. So this is a very big Yisoid. To understand that our opinions can change and can grow and to adapt. And that gives us, in a marriage, the opportunity to grow and understand each other and develop our own personalities and enhance each other with the richness of each of our personalities to give to each other and benefit greatly from it. Another thing about opinions and about a mahalach difference between husbands and wives is there are unresolvable problems. We talked about this when we mentioned the John Gottman lectures and so on. And people fantasize that people are more suited for each other than other couples. And the truth is, we all face challenges. Every couple will face challenges. And every couple will have unresolvable problems, which means there are problems that simply, because of their different personality, they'll see things differently. There's nothing to talk about. But they have a choice. They could either argue and argue and argue to the point of gridlock and hurt each other. And it's sort of like we said last time, the stove says, you know, you want heat. I'm not giving you heat until you give me wood. So each one of the couple in the gridlock withholds their love, withholds their affection, withholds their acceptance from each other. And they say, oh, when I understand her, then I'll accept and love her. When I understand him, I will accept him. But till then, I'm not. And then you have a vicious pattern. You end up criticizing each other, blaming each other because of these unresolved differences. And then you retreat and either you blow up or you withdraw. Either way, both ways are deadly and unhealthy. And the key is, in a healthy marriage, it's not your job to fix the relationship. The relationship itself fixes you. It's hard work. Some things you need to let go of. The unresolvable things. This is just the way it is. I'm going to make the most of it. All relationships have a certain degree of unresolvable problems. It's difficult to come to terms with it if people didn't know this going into marriage. But once you accept this, you learn how to deal with it. And you learn how to not only to live with it, you thrive despite that difference. Okay, with this thing, I'm not going to have my way. In this thing, I'm going to have to accept that reality is different. This is what Hashem wants. It's about teamwork. It's not about getting what you want. It's not about getting. It's a healthy giving and a healthy receiving, working together for a common good, for an achievement of a common goal, and to remove the ego as much as possible, and to emphasize the teamwork. He mentioned once a coach, John Wooden. He was a famous basketball coach, college basketball coach. And he saw, let's say, a player that was only interested in his own statistics, individual recognition. So in other words, if the team lost, he didn't care as long as he was able to score as much points individually. Team won and he didn't score enough, he wouldn't be happy because my statistics were down. So the coach would put that kid on the bench again and again and again, even though he was the most talented player on the court. But the team, as a team, played better without him. Because great coaches don't put best players on the court. They put the best team on the court. Now, in professional basketball, it doesn't work that way anymore. You have these superstars that basically domineer everything. But in a college setting, this is what it was. Teams are more successful when the collective ego is greater than the individual egos. Football, same way. The teamwork of it. So here in marriage too, the intimacy requires teamwork. And this third level, what we're talking here of differing opinions, to know how to deal with the differing opinions, accept each other's world, even if you don't necessarily agree with it, and to learn how to navigate through these unresolvable problems and still be at peace with one another and loving to each other and giving of each other as much as possible. And that causes the relationship to thrive. And Hashem gives you that special bracha. Sometimes it's a test, indeed, where you feel that you're being limited. But if you do it the right way and you give and you learn to work with each other with respect and with love, Hashem gives a bracha. You see, an ultimate bracha, because when the Shekhinah is there, Shalom is there, and things resolve itself, and a great peace of mind and joy enters the hearts of both husband and wife to have an everlasting shalom bayis in their home. Bracha natzlacha.